Good evening, everyone. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and we've got a paradigm shifter that I lost for a couple of years, but he's come back in, and he's shifting our reality and our potentiality even more than he was before. Welcome, welcome to Paradigm Shifters. This is Stephen Pollitt from Source Energy Research. Is that right?
Source Energy Research, yes.
Yeah, well, welcome to the show, Stephen. I'm so glad you're back on.
Thank you, Veronica. We're really delighted to be back and very excited about what you've been up to since we talked last, and really bless you for the work that you do. It's really helping to, I think, make the world certainly a better place for all of us.
Well, thank you for that. And one of the things that you and I share, which is a really strong desire to shift the fields and frequency in the collective, and you're doing some great stuff. Your book is called Heal Thyself, and I have the earliest copy, but you've rewritten it, haven't you?
Yeah, I just finished editing the third edition, which is in the process of editing, and we hope to have it available by the end of the year. We did create some new remedies that were not in the second edition, and I think that when all was said and done, we added about 80 pages of new information and expanded some chapters. And
well, let's back up for people who don't remember our session from a few years ago, and tell people at home what exactly Source Energy Medicine is. And when you talk about remedies, what does that look like? Are these flower essences? What on earth are you doing over there?
Indeed. Source Energy Medicine is a holistic self-healing methodology that I co-created about 10 years ago. Actually, we're coming up on our anniversary. It was this time of year, 10 years ago, mid-October, that really the answer to my prayers and a lot of research work that I was engaged with for about 4 years or so suddenly came together in quite unexpected ways, and when I sat back and looked at it, I realized it really was the foundation of a holistic self-healing methodology, one that answered a lot of areas of frustration for me. I was working as a medical intuitive holistic health practitioner and with a variety of different methodologies.
So you're already in the intuitive world then?
Oh, yeah, for a number of years. I started counseling clients with nutrition and expanded beyond that into energy medicine and vibrational medicine and a lot of different things. But within everything that I explored, I mean, everything that I explored was simply a way to be able to better serve my clients and of course, continue to heal myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my journey was filled with frustration, lack of results, or if the results were positive, they tended to be short-lived, not long-term. And most everything was quite expensive, cost prohibitive to a lot of my clients. And I knew that healing could be much, much, much more simple than what it was, and certainly than what I experienced.
What is healing to you?
Is healing to me? Healing to me, what I've come to know about healing is I really think we're all prodigals. We are born into a mental, physical, material realm, but you know we're spiritual beings, and we bump around in the dark, and some of us begin to awaken to our greater truth.
I like that term. You said we're all prodigals. I go, wow, that really made me think about that. Great.
Yeah, indeed, and that I believe our Creator intended us to have an abundance of all things good and in every aspect of life. I don't think our Creator intended us to experience lack and limitation and dis-ease and struggle and really an individual, egoic-based existence. And that's the world that we're all born into. So to me, true healing really is the manifestation and experience of consistent, balanced harmony and abundance of all things good in every aspect of life and being. And I know that that can only come about through shift in consciousness, literally through paradigm shift. Source Energy Medicine is a tool that facilitates tremendous shifts. 10 years ago, I was strongly focused on helping people to heal from dis-ease and imbalance. And now I know that any disease, any imbalance, healing can only come about through a shift in consciousness.
And have you had a lot of shifts in consciousness yourself?
Absolutely, and still continue to.
Because you got a line here in your introduction to your newest book, and it says, "My life and journey continue to unfold in beautiful, magical, and quite miraculous ways." And I underlined that because I want that. I do that too. But
yeah, indeed. You know, the so many blessings for me within this work, and Source Energy Medicine would not exist if I was not frustrated with my own challenges. You know, I started having pretty significant physical health challenges when I was probably in my early 30s.
Were they inherited kind of things?
Pardon me?
Inherited sort of things? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Things that ran in both my parents' families. Mm-hmm. And the youngest of four, and each of my older siblings had numerous challenges, some similar, some different. And both my parents died at what I would consider to be quite young. Mm. And I didn't have words for it then, but you know, essentially, I was committed to not buying into the predeterministic vision that my genes had in store for me, mm-hmm. and that's literally where my healing journey began.
Well, what kind of sicknesses did they have? Were they cancer and heart and the traditional ones?
My father had a series of strokes, and the last one slowly killed him over about a 7 or 8 year period of time. Mm-hmm. And my mother had a variety of different cancers, which she hid from us until the point where we realized that, you know, what she had, and from the time we realized what she had and actually went to the hospital, it was literally 2 weeks before she died.
Oh my!
And my mother died, and 2 days later my father died. So it was quite a shock. And I remember sitting there at their wake, and thinking about how my father was 64 when he had his first stroke, and
my
mother was 66 when she died, and you know, I consider that quite young. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting there at their wake, 35, 40 pounds overweight, a variety of pretty significant health challenges, and looking at my older siblings, similar if not worse than I, and realized that, you know, I had two choices. I could either buy into what I'm seeing, buy into what my genes had in store for me, or choose to explore different options. And I guess I was kooky enough to choose plan B. And
were you already an intuitive by then?
I was very intuitive when I was a child, and it was very much repressed. My family was very conservative. Mm-hmm. Alternative healing, or even good nutrition or organic. I mean, organic didn't exist when I was a kid. In the way that it does now, but you know, I was raised very, very conventionally, very traditionally, and was not introduced to alternative medicine until really after my parents died.
Mm-hmm. But that was a real epiphany time for you.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I like what you say in this, which is that no matter what the family history has, we can move beyond it, and you've. So tell us how did you get into energy?
Well, really, you know, I realized that my healing path and my spiritual path were truly the same path, mm-hmm. although, you know, even 10 years ago, I would have told you they were very different and very, very distinct. And what I now know is that they are one and the same, and really through my spiritual path and exploring the philosophies that we are all one and that we are all creative expressions of the divine or our creator, it led to the realization that if that's true, then I am indeed a prodigal, walking around pretending to be this unique individual, separate and apart from everything and everyone. And of course, the most challenging is being separate from our creator. So, you know, I look at things energetically, and I calibrate energy levels. I've adopted Dr. David Hawkins' scale of 0 to 1,000 to calibrate energy, and we can calibrate physical being, we can calibrate mental, emotional, spiritual, or we can even calibrate different organs and functions and systems.
How do you calibrate it? Do you use a machine?
I'm a master dowser, but
okay.
We have practitioners who are either dowsers or kinesiologists or intuitive of some manner of being able to test essentially yes or no questions.
Mm-hmm.
But when I douse a client for their energy level, on that scale of 0 to 1,000, the reason why I use that scale and what I'm so passionate about it is there's a very clear and clean dividing line between helpful and not helpful, and that's 200. If let's say we were calibrating an herb or a supplement, if it calibrated below 200, it would not be helpful or supportive to us.
Hmm.
If it calibrated above 200, it would be.
Hmm.
And, you know, Hawkins' research indicates that 87% of the human population calibrates below the weakening level of 200.
That's incredible.
It is. And when, you know, when I got over the shock of that and really sat with it and explored it, but to me, the true implications of that helped me to understand the state of the world that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so essentially 87% of the population are walking around having a life experience, I believe, other than what we were intended to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, all dis-ease, all imbalance, all areas of lack and limitation, they all calibrate below 200 as well. So on strictly on the physical level, if Joe has a particular type of cancer, he has that type of cancer because he's calibrated at exactly the same frequency as that cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed there long enough for his cells to replicate enough times and unwind his DNA and find the like vibrating parts and go back to that organ and function and system and rebuild that with a mismade cell, a cell that's encoded with cancer. So if we did nothing for Joe, I mean, we certainly have a remedy for cancer, but if we did nothing other than transform the physical aspect of his being from a below 200 to above 200, his cells would take care of it, rebuilding his organs and functions and systems. So, you know, in Joe's case, of course, we would use the cancer remedy. But very interestingly enough, the way source energy medicines work is we don't combat the cancer. We simply transform the energy field that the cancer is vibrating at from wherever it is below 200 to above 200.
Mm-hmm.
And once we're able to do that, then the cells will create daughter cells and rebuild the organ and function and system with a properly made cell and a cell that cannot be encoded with that cancer or whatever the dis-ease or imbalance that the person is experiencing.
Well, now tell me this. Is that how you lost weight? You were
yes and no. So, sir, I mean, I'm partly
teasing you, but this is really graphic, isn't it?
Yeah, no, it is. But, you know, Veronica, I have to tell you, since 2005, I haven't had a single physical health challenge. And, of course, mentally and emotionally and spiritually, more thriving and abundant and balanced and harmonious than I've ever been.
Wow.
But, I had significant health challenges starting probably late 20s, early 30s. I started wearing glasses when I was freshman in college. I haven't worn glasses in 10 years.
Oh, wow. This is very exciting.
And you know, so when I was able to act through eating extremely well, but very, very restrictive. I was able to get to an ideal body weight, but it hasn't been until the last handful of years. I still had to eat, you know, a very, very, very regimented diet. I would call it, I don't like to use the D word, but it was. And I had major digestive challenges where if I didn't eat as well as I might, I suffered pretty significantly. Now I could pretty much eat anything I want and
wow.
Never suffer at all. I still eat large majority organic food and homemade and lovingly prepared, but I travel a lot offering workshops and I make the best choices that I can. And I haven't suffered or really gained weight in 10 years.
Well, it's just really wonderful to just even speaking to you, and I'm so conscious of your frequency, which is really wonderful. And I'm going, well, you must have trained your frequency and moved your fields over time, right? Through
indeed.
The food.
Yeah,
but
that is very much the way I see source energy medicine is when Joe calibrates at 87, we really do have to retrain his vibration. The beautiful thing, Veronica, is, you know, Joe was born with a specific vibration that's unique or specific calibration that's unique to the advancement of his soul, the way I see it.
Right.
So let's say Joe's ideal potential is 590, and if he's living at 89, there's such a tremendous gap between those two, and the scale isn't a scale that's based on linear math. It's a scale that's based on logarithms. So even 590 to 89 seems like a tremendous gap. When we take into consideration a scale that's based on logarithms, it's like, you know, crossing an ocean.
Well, tell me just briefly that we each have our own energy signature, don't we? Is that that's kind of what you're saying?
I believe we're each born with our unique soul potential, mm-hmm. and I really think a large part of true healing is achieving and sustaining, maintaining that ideal energy level. And until we're able to do that, we will experience lack and limitation and struggle at best. And typically, the greater the gap, the greater the disparity or the challenge.
And the gap comes through our beliefs and our genetics and our hoo-ha, all the influences. Is that what you'd say, the reactions?
Well, there are a lot of different things that affect our calibration or our energy level. And unfortunately, for a lot of people, just simply the birthing process isn't enough to, especially on a physical level, to traumatize the physical being to the point where physical calibration is below 200. But the big culprit that I've learned over the years is our subconscious mind is really has the strongest effect on our energy level, both positive and negative, depending on where it's calibrated. So when Joe calibrates at 89, he largely calibrates at 89 because of the calibration of his subconscious mind. Mm. And his subconscious mind, we're all born. I've yet to find a single person who's born with a subconscious mind that calibrates above 200. They're certainly out there. I haven't encountered any. I've been doing the same style energetic assessment for clients and calibrating subconscious mind and current energy level and ideal energy level for about 10 years. And I've yet to find a single person who has a subconscious mind that's calibrated above 200. And my personal belief
that's
is that
really
we're born
interesting.
With subconscious limiting beliefs that we inherit from our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents.
Our own soul journey.
Yeah, and if you believe in reincarnation, it's almost twice as bad because we bring that forward with us too.
Mm-hmm. So, but you're saying that the gap between our essential, the essence of our being mm-hmm. energy, is something that can be crossed, is that right?
Oh, absolutely. From my experience, people who do explore source energy medicines and stick with taking the remedies, I have yet to find a single person who is not able to reach their ideal energy level and reach it within about a year, depending on, you know, I've worked with a lot of clients who have ideal energy levels in the 900s, which is really, really, really quite rare. Mm-hmm. But it would certainly take them longer than someone whose ideal energy level is in the 300s. And the cool thing...
Well, wait a minute. What is the ideal energy level like?
The ideal is everyone's true soul potential. So when Joe is born, even if he's born at 89, he has a true soul potential of 590.
Okay.
And again, to me, that's what a big, big, big component of true healing is. If Joe is able to transform the calibration and the energy level of every aspect of his life and being, so physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, the subconscious mind is paramount, and then there are all these subtle aspects of our being. Mm-hmm. When he's able to transform all of those aspects to 590, not only is it a homecoming for him energetically, but he is in complete alignment with his soul, his true potential.
Well, so the fellow that 300 is his ideal. You mentioned somebody 300, somebody 900?
Yes.
So that means like the 900 might be an avatar or a saint or something?
900 would be further along on the evolution as a soul.
Okay.
Absolutely. So, yeah, the potential for enlightenment is 700 and above. And above 900 is really where avatars would calibrate.
And then 300? That isn't a huge potential, is it?
Just... 300 I would see as a young soul.
Oh.
So a couple of interesting things, Veronica. If I had simply asked the question and energetically assess it, is there a single person on this planet with an ideal energy level below 200? I get no. And I've asked this question numerous times over the years.
I bet you have.
So that means there isn't a single person who is here to experience a life of lack or limitation or dis-ease or, you know, significant challenge. Mm-hmm. Those significant challenges come when we are calibrated other than what our true potential is or what our ideal potential is, mm-hmm. and we end up somewhere below 200 and stay there long enough. You asked earlier about beliefs. Certainly thoughts, feelings, and emotions, beyond the subconscious mind, our thoughts, feelings, and emotions on a conscious level have the greatest influence over our energy level. So if Joe's able to reach 590, how well he's able to maintain that or sustain that without source energy medicine is largely going to depend on his conscious awareness practices mm-hmm. and how consciously aware he is of his thoughts, feelings, emotions, behaviors, actions.
Hmm. This is all really exciting because this is where I want to live in terms of having resolved all that, you know?
Yeah.
So how does
this... Veronica, the thing that keeps us stuck,
yes.
the reason why I felt so frustrated before source energy medicine was because my subconscious mind was calibrated so low that it was undermining all of my conscious efforts.
Aha. Uh-huh. That I can understand.
I was sitting and meditating every day. I was literally living like a monk without being in a cloister. Without some of the things that monks give up. But I literally was, you know, very, very close to living like a monk mm-hmm. and, you know, doing all the things that I thought were right and yet, you know, maybe receiving 5% of the benefit that I felt I should have. I used to tell my colleague friends that I felt, you know, 5 or 10% of what I was doing, I should have been grand. I should have had no challenges in any aspect of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't true for me. I had significant challenges in a lot of different areas of life.
And you attribute that to the subconscious or karma. It could be karma. Yeah.
The calibration of my subconscious mind was the biggest culprit.
Hmm.
And it was really what was rooting me at being stuck. So it's to me the reason why prayer or affirmations or things like that don't have a more profound effect.
Hmm. That really makes sense. I'm thinking, as you say that, I'm thinking about empathy, how empathy can also keep us locked into a certain vibrational field, mm-hmm. right?
Absolutely. Yeah, people who are very energetically sensitive
mm-hmm.
have a really, really hard time transforming their energy level because they're like sponges,
mm-hmm.
and they keep... you know, so if Joe calibrates at 590 and then he goes and hangs around with a lot of people who are calibrated at 50, well, guess what? They can't come to you.
Yeah.
So you could sustain it and not buy into it, but if he's a highly sensitive person, highly empathetic, it's going to negatively affect his energy level.
Yeah, because ideally he would be sending the higher frequency energies to kind of corral these 50s up a little higher, right?
Exactly. That to me is the most inspirational part in all of this. And, you know, if we go back to Hawkins' statistic that 87% of the population calibrate below 200,
mm-hmm.
thank God it's a scale that's based on logarithms, because the handful of people who calibrate above 200, really very small percentage of the population, it's by and large these avatars that we touched on. It's these very, very high souls or light beings who calibrate in the 900s. Who are able to counterbalance the 87% of the human population that calibrate below 200.
Hmm.
So for each of us who are able to transform the energy level of every aspect of our life and being from below 200 to above 200, we're actually helping with that counterbalancing. And I know at a certain point we'll reach something similar to critical mass, where it's not just counterbalancing, but it'll be outweighing, and then little bit more outweighing to the point where it grossly outweighs the negativity to the point where there'll be so much light on this planet that there could be no darkness.
Hmm.
And,
well, tell me this, Stephen, are you calibrating like universal fields and so on? There seems to be huge mm-hmm. downloads going on that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Are you noticing?
Yep, I agree. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of what's happening is because it's not just through source energy medicine. I mean, I really don't know outside of source energy medicine any way to transform energy levels the way we're able to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, 13% of the population is coming in either with that vibration or figuring out a way to do it.
Mm.
And by and large, you know, they certainly are very advanced souls.
Mm-hmm.
But
I think you're probably one of those too. Now, tell us exactly how everybody at home is going, okay, what do I need to do?
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that, so when all of this information literally came through me and I realized this was a healing methodology.
You channeled it, did you?
It was literally the answer to my prayers and was divinely inspired. I was working as a medical intuitive,
mm-hmm.
so I'm very used to hearing I would sit with a client and literally hear everything that I needed to know about that client, hear it intuitively. Mm-hmm. So the answers to my questions and my research all developed intuitively and was absolutely divinely inspired. And what I was very present to was that I had tremendous resistance to actually starting a healing methodology. I didn't want to do it. I was happy contributing.
That's usually a sign that it's good, right?
Pardon me?
That's a sign that it's important, right?
It took a long time for me to work through the resistance. And what literally got me through it was I realized that my ego could never accept credit for any of it. So I felt that I was completely free. I was safe because most of my concerns were around the ego getting crazy and going wild and all of those things. But the big driving force that inspired me to share this work was I realized that this work was divinely inspired and is really meant for the highest good of all. Mm. And if that's true, then I really feel like I'm a steward for this work, and it's my responsibility to share this work as openly and freely as possible. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning of Source Energy Medicine, we made and sold remedies. That's the technology we had, and we made them as affordable as possible. Mm-hmm. But still, people were spending about $1,000, maybe a little bit more, spread out over about a year. And currently, today, several years ago, we developed technology that now enables people to make remedies in their own home.
Oh, wow.
So you can go to our website and download our charging labels and print the charging labels on your home computer. Mm-hmm. And most people buy bottled spring water or use mason jars. Mm-hmm. We have a short video on our website that explains how to make and how to take Source Energy medicines. But we have the entire charging label system available as a free download. And our book, which I mentioned earlier, Heal Thyself, is available as a free download.
Wow.
And we do ask people using our materials to support us financially, mm-hmm. but it's not required to use our materials. You can simply press the download button and receive the materials. Mm-hmm. And the video pretty much explains everything, and then the book explains the entire methodology in far greater detail than we could do here today.
But I don't want them to turn off the radio and go to the website, so if you could just tell me. what we've got is a pot of water, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you could take a mason jar, mm-hmm. fill it with good quality water. It could be spring water, filtered water, and I don't like the idea of people using tap water.
Okay.
But any good quality water will be fine, and you simply apply our charging label, put a piece of tape on it, and let that water sit still for about an hour, and the charging label very technically structures the water molecules first. There's a lot of talk these days about water structuring devices, which are wonderful. Mm-hmm. But we go quite a bit further in that we're charging those structured molecules with specific vibrations, and the specific vibrations are what makes the cancer remedy the cancer remedy, or the attitude of abundance, or the remedies that actually help to increase our energy level, which are the energy level progression remedies.
Are they?
We have 190 different remedies, which you can make in your own home, and all you need is good quality water and bottles and a way to download and print our labels.
And are the labels categorized according to, like emotions or physical
mm-hmm.
things?
Yep, there's different categories. We have mm-hmm. five different main categories of remedies, and it's pretty simple, straightforward. About a third of our book is simply reference.
Oh,
it explains
great.
Each of the remedies and what they do. And
then, so it takes an hour to energize the water?
But well, it actually, the water molecules are being structured and charged faster than I can test.
Okay.
But it takes about an hour to completely stabilize that remedy.
Well, Stephen, can you put like five remedies on a bottle?
You can't. That would actually create chaos.
Okay.
and think about it. It would be like going into a high-end stereo store and going into their listening room and turning on five different systems with five different styles of music.
That's right.
Yeah.
Then trying to make an intelligent conversation.
But the interesting thing is we have 190 different remedies, but we have, I guess about 4 years ago or so, I think it was 2008, a lot of our research is continuing to look for ways of making this easier, fewer remedies, or faster, just to help to support people in better ways. In 2008, we developed technology that we call fusion, and we were able to take groupings of remedies and fuse them all into a single charging label.
Oh, wow.
So in the beginning, a lot of people took 30 or 40 remedies at a time, and, you know, two or three or four different stages. So, you know, they were taking maybe 100 different remedies, 120 remedies. Now the average person takes between 16 and maybe 25 remedies.
But is that because that the frequencies are going up all around, or is it because you're...
No, it's mostly because we were able to combine, I think, the Transformation Fusion number 2 remedy has 30-some different remedies that are now in a single charging label.
Oh, wow.
So in part, Veronica, it does have to do with healing today is absolutely easier than healing was even 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to do with the global shifts that we're all experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has to do with more and more people transforming their energy level.
Right. So everywhere you look at it, energy's on the move in a way.
It is. And to me, from my perspective, it's on the move in a very, very, very positive direction. I've never been more hopeful and optimistic about our future than I am today.
Well, how many labels have you put on the water in the White House and in the Congress?
Yeah. Well, we do have people who are working on who work on large scales.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, think about it. If there is this counterbalancing thing that happens, if enough of us transform our energy level, then we will have positive influence on governments everywhere.
Well, now, and changing this a little wee bit, just the subject a little bit, let's go back to you talking about water. You wanted to get good water, and I'm thinking, do you think that if we use the labels on polluted water or, you know, mm-hmm. tainted water, it would help?
It would help. A single charging label will affect about 5 gallons of water.
5 gallons, okay.
So we've had people come to our workshops who have, you know, ponds or lakes or live near the ocean or on the ocean,
mm-hmm.
and they want to influence larger bodies of water, and it can be done. You have to use the charging labels along with crystals, and the crystals actually act as amplifiers. And some of the I guess, large majority of the research that I've been involved in for the last year or so are charging labels for specifically for our environment. There are a lot of people who are putting charging labels on crystals and putting them in the earth and putting them in larger bodies of water.
Mm-hmm.
But we're working on remedies specifically to transform the air, transform the earth, transform the water, transform the subtle energies that we can't see but affect us.
Boy, that's exciting, isn't it?
It is very exciting.
And ultimately, our government.
Well, our government's going to go with whichever way our consciousness goes. So
yes.
If our global human consciousness continues to increase on that scale, mm-hmm. government has to come along.
Mm-hmm.
At a certain point, there will be so much light, so much uplifting consciousness that, you know, there can be no negativity. And, you can look at negativity from a wide variety of ways, but...
Well, it's interesting because I'm thinking about, for example, computers. You could probably put one on a computer so you have less of that discharge that comes off.
Absolutely.
Sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do that?
Yep. Yeah, and, you know, the interesting thing, too, there, Veronica, at a high enough energy level, you could roll around in noxious energy. You could roll around in pathogens. You could roll around in EMFs. You could roll around in
heavy
metals.
That, yeah.
You could roll around in any of that stuff, and at a high enough energy level, not going to affect you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not encouraging you to go and drink a beaker of botulism, but at a high enough energy level, you should be able to do that and not have a negative experience because there is no vibrational matchup. Illness or dis-ease or reaction to there was a tragedy in Japan, I kept getting emails from people in California. What can I do to protect myself from the radiation and the fallout and all of these things?
Mm-hmm.
And my answer was always the same, regardless of the tragedy, maintain a high energy level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, radiation calibrates way below 200. The only way radiation is going to have a negative effect is if you're a close enough vibrational matchup to it.
But that means we've got to get that Roto-Rooter into the subconscious.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
All of us, right?
Yep, Indeed.
But it is kind of contagious. We can pass it all on, can't we? I mean, if you raise your energy fields, you really affect the room, don't you?
No question about it. And, mm-hmm. and you know, historically, there are famous stories about when Buddha or Jesus or really a number of different great teachers would enter a village and the whole village would undergo transformation.
Yeah, that's the wonderful story. Or the meditators over in Washington, D.C. for three
Absolutely.
Months, remember?
Yep, perfect example.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you could get a group of people who have perhaps a lower vibration and would be the equivalent of, say, an avatar.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you get a group of people who sit and meditate and then they're able to hold that frequency. So with Source Energy Medicine, we're able to, you know, the goal is to hold that consciousness and go around and play in regular society, not to just be able to tap into that consciousness for seconds at a time that tend to be fleeting.
Do people?
You know, I was able to experience my ideal energy level prior to Source Energy Medicine, but only in these little snippets of time that were very, very fleeting. And now I'm able to stay in that energy pretty consistently.
Really? So you were able to get your ideal? I don't want to ask you what it is.
Yes. Yeah, again, I've yet to find a single person who, you know, sticks with the program who's not able to achieve their ideal energy level. And even those folks in the 900s were able to do that in less than a year.
Really? How many people in the 900s have you found?
I've worked with, dozens probably.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Huh.
And lots of people in the 800s and lots of people in the 700s. And primarily those are the people that I attract, which I love.
Okay.
Because, you know, one person calibrating at 900 can counterbalance millions and millions and millions of people calibrating below 200.
Yeah.
One person at 300 has, you know, far less of a positive impact. And I'm not saying I don't want to help people who calibrate in the 300s. I certainly want to help everyone. But my intention is to have as big a positive impact on global human consciousness as quickly as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, one way of doing that is to help people who have very, very, very high ideal energy levels to reach that.
And so you do workshops, but you also do one-on-ones, don't you?
I do. I do energetic assessments for clients, and there's information on our website about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I do offer workshops. I'll be in Virginia next week for a couple, and mid-November up in the Toronto area.
Oh, good. In Canada. Yeah. So, and what about children? Do you work with children at all?
I do. I work with children. And I love working with children. If I were not the founder of Source Energy Medicine, I would have a private practice that focused on working with children. And that's really mm-hmm. was the focus of my practice before Source Energy Medicine. But
do you have children of your own?
I do not. Mm-hmm. Not in this lifetime.
Okay.
So, yeah, but I have always enjoyed working with children, and even when I practice nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a joy. And for me, with Source Energy Medicine, kids experience positive results so much faster than adults.
That's what I was thinking. It must be exciting. What about autism, things like that? Have you done sort of special pathological or categorized difficulties?
Yeah, we've had good success. You know, autism is a challenging thing in that it's a spectrum disorder, and there's a really wide variety of affect. And we have had a lot of good success, actually, with children that have a really wide variety of challenges, a lot of different learning types of challenges and behavioral things. But, you know, most of those, I mean, it's all related to energy level, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
We're able to transform the energy level, starting with the subconscious mind, but, you know, and, you know, then getting the physical aspect of her being above 200, then everything shifts. It has to.
And what about things like bipolarity, you know, that kind
mm-hmm.
of thing?
Had great success with that.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's very exciting. Have you worked in any hospitals, or is that kind of still taboo?
Not yet. Uh-huh. Not yet. We have had a few MDs who have embraced our methodology, and chiropractors, and a really wide variety of different folks. And we have had people in some third world countries introducing Source Energy Medicine into kind of clinic settings, but very informal settings. And it's quite a blessing for people to be able to download our charging labels and share them.
Yes.
With people who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford any kind of care.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm thinking it's very, very exciting. I'm going to get to work on it myself. What do you think of that? What about one of the subjects I'm really intrigued by and I'm learning a lot about is dying. And I was thinking, can you use the charging labels to help people who are, for example, aging or becoming more decrepit or planning their exit or that
sort
of thing?
That's a beautiful question. And I had a young lady come to our workshops a while back, and that's the focus of her practice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've lost touch with her, but I was so excited by her passion for helping people to make the transition in the best way possible. And I've had so 10 years ago, I would have told you that if I worked with a client and they died, that I failed in some way.
Right, that's how it was the model.
And I don't see it that way anymore, and mm-hmm. I'm not. So I believe we're eternal beings,
mm-hmm.
and so this life that I'm experiencing is an illusion, and it's a finite experience, and yet there's an eternal aspect of my being that can come back and do this again if we choose. So while death is challenging for those who are left behind, for the one who's making the transition, it's actually a freedom.
But it's interesting that I know some high people that are very, very conscious, and when their time for transition came, their body seemed to go into tremendous resistance. So they did a lot of arguing on the physical or emotional level with
absolutely.
And I keep thinking, well, if we all do this and we do it over and over, which I kind of believe. I'm always open to not believe what I believe, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah.
I
indeed.
Thought maybe.
And, you know, Veronica, that's a beautiful point in that when I work with someone who is critically ill, there is that struggle going on. And the struggle that I see is really between, it's a struggle or a battle or debate, if you will, that's going on a soul level.
Mm-hmm.
There's one on one aspect. There's a part that wants to die. There's a part that wants to transition. We're like done,
mm-hmm.
tired, body's worn out, whatever the case may be.
And even spiritually, you may be excited about it.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there is that excitement. And mm-hmm. I've worked with a lot of people who are monks and nuns, and to them, death is a release. It's a freedom. It's a beautiful thing. And yet, some of those people that I have worked with thought that they were at the end of their life, and all they were really at was at this fork in the road, mm-hmm. and there was this battle between the physical and non-physical, where the non-physical or the soul aspect wanted to stay and do more work, and on the physical aspect, or sometimes the subconscious, wanted to leave, wanted to transition. So if we're able to resolve that energetically, then there's choice. And I worked with one gentleman who, when I first started working with him, he's an international public figure, and when I first started working with him, I literally did not think, and this is from my energetic assessment, mm-hmm. that he was going to live two more weeks.
Wow.
And he ended up living like 3.5 more years.
And
he wrote 5 more books and numerous pieces of music and lectured around the world and never stopped. He was wearing out his staff, and his staff were, you know, mostly in their 30s, and he was in his 80s, and just completely transformed, balanced, and restored his physical body. He had very progressed Alzheimer's and dementia, and that was completely transformed, balanced, and restored.
It was? Wow.
He was insulin-dependent diabetic, hypertension, he had gout, he had so many challenges that he was able to completely transcend, and then he was, you know, wouldn't stop. He was literally wearing his staff out. They couldn't keep up with him.
What a celebratory epilogue, eh, for him?
Indeed, but it was a matter of getting everything in alignment. And the biggest part was, you know, he's one of the people who calibrated in the 900s. His soul was calibrated so high, and yet his physical aspect was calibrated so low that it kept manifesting all this dis-ease and wasn't enabling him to do the dharma that he knew he was here to do.
Well, had he thought that he was really a high being or a...
Yeah, no, he knew.
He knew that.
Yeah. But he'd been a monk since he was in his early 20s. He was a renunciate and lived in a spiritual community.
Oh.
But still, he was a human living in the physical world, And for him, it was a lot like, you know, having high voltage running through a low voltage little wire, and it was just like frying his physical body.
And could he articulate that?
Pardon me?
I guess he could even be aware of that. He was conscious.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. He would write a book, and it would almost kill him. You know, it was like that kind of experience, because he had to, you know, harness this energy that was very, very high vibrating, and his physical body was, there was too much of a gap between those two things, or he would go on a world tour and it would almost kill him, you know. And
it was
a challenge getting him to maintain and sustain his energy level, because he wouldn't slow down or allow his body time to heal. And God bless his staff for making remedies everywhere they went.
And I wonder, can you put the remedies, so for people at home, you put the little remedy, you stick them on the bottle of water, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for a person, can you put it on an arm or a heart?
You could.
Heart?
Mm-hmm. Yep. One charging label at a time, just like your question about the bottle.
Uh-huh.
So you could. We have a lot of body workers who come to our workshops, and they'll laminate charging labels. And when someone comes in for a session, they'll one at a time put a charging label on the person. We also have charging labels for traumatic injury and things like that, and have some quite dramatic stories that people have shared with using charging labels topically.
Huh. I think it's really exciting, because the other thing is that it's interesting to me that our body has many areas of intelligence. So you're talking about the subconscious, it's at a lower
mm-hmm.
category. And maybe our arms are at higher. You know, there's all kinds of disparate mm-hmm. things, aren't there?
Yeah. Well, if you look at an acupuncture chart, you know, those spots, those points are very telling. And even within an acupuncture chart, if you talk to an acupuncturist or even a reflexologist, they'll tell you, you know, the differences between the points, and some are more major than others, and some are significant for different organs or functions or systems, but they're yeah.
So would you put those charging things on specific points then?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
Yep.
So I should think, for someone who's dying, for example, you could put them at the top of the head with it.
Yeah, actually, at the if you look at a chart of the spine, C7, cervical 7, and T1, it's at if you tip your chin forward and feel the back of your neck, you'll feel a large vertebrae protrude. That's roughly the spot that I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
That's a major energetic entry point.
Oh.
And for someone who is dying or someone who has had traumatic injury, that would be a great place to put a charging label.
So a person would do well to actually look up a lot of these points in order to enhance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And if you don't know, just try that spot on the back of your neck. That is pretty consistently one of the best spots. But to get back to your question about people who make their transition,
mm-hmm.
One of the best things that we can do is help a person to transform their energy level,
mm-hmm.
help them to transform their subconscious mind. Because if they're able to transition at their ideal energy level,
mm-hmm.
then it absolutely sets them up for a graceful transition,
mm-hmm.
and then for if they do choose to come back, they will be born at their ideal energy level and with a subconscious mind that is not calibrated below 200,
mm-hmm.
but one that is calibrated at their ideal energy level.
Mm-hmm. I hope that they commit with you as they leave, that they'll come back and let you know.
You know, I joke about that at workshops, because I don't want any of my friends to prove that point to me. And I certainly don't want to prove it myself. But energetically, it tests that when we die, wherever we are energetically is where we pick up the next lifetime.
Yeah, I believe
and
that.
And there are
actually
people like Walter Russell who was talking about that in the 40s.
Oh.
And I really, really am excited about taking this work into prisons.
Oh, good. I was going to ask you about that.
Mm. Yeah, Walter Russell really inspired me along these lines, because if you think about it, if someone who has committed a violent crime in this lifetime, if they don't resolve that karmically, their next lifetime, they'll pick up where they left off, and it's just a matter of time before the same pattern repeats.
Hmm.
If we're able to help them transform that karmically, help them to transform their energy level, then next time they'll have choice.
I really like that. Are you going to be doing that?
I certainly hope so. I haven't had any success so far in introducing this theory into. I have so many ideas that I really, really want to do, but that's at the top of my list. So
well, tell me this: do you have a flock of people around there? I mean, helping you? Do you have supporters?
We have actually quite an army of angels who help to support us in so many ways, from hosting workshops to taking on some of these research projects and, you know, exploring. We have a lot of people who are acupuncturists or body workers who are exploring using the charging labels topically and then share their information with us and things like that. So,
and do you have a certification program?
We don't. We certainly have practitioner-level workshops, mm-hmm. but we don't have, at this point in time, any kind of certification process.
I want to jump back into, we talked about passing transition, we talked a bit about karma when you're talking about people in prisons and so on, and I'm still really interested in how much you can do with aging. I think that mm-hmm. could be so wonderful for people.
Yeah. You know, my personal belief is that when we reach our ideal energy level, mm-hmm. aging slows and stops and will reverse. I believe what we know of aging is grossly accelerated, mm-hmm. and it's largely due to stress, largely due to...
fear of aging.
Yeah, certainly. A lot of limiting beliefs compound the challenge. So I really think what we historically know of aging, since, you know, medical science has been studying our bodies, I think that the physical body is aging 3, 4, 5 times faster than it was designed to. So I believe, you know, I agree with cell biologists that, you know, we should be living to 110 or 120, except when we get there, mm-hmm. we should look like a happy, healthy 50-year-old does mm-hmm. today, if you could find a happy, healthy 50-year-old.
Well, and have you found yourself getting younger in mm-hmm. in many ways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I certainly feel better than I did even five or 10 years ago. I run into people. Sometimes I do workshops and don't get back there for a year, and often people comment that I look younger than I did last time they saw me. Oh, yeah, that to me, it's kind of a side benefit, and certainly I'm all in favor of living to 120 if I can stay completely active and healthy and vibrant. And
being a contributor.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, I have a lot of things on my list of things that I would like to accomplish in this lifetime, and if I can live to even 150, but vibrant, why not?
Well, do you think, I think it's wonderful, you know, do you think that you're having any interactions with ETs? This is a cheeky question.
You know, that's really not an area of high interest for me.
Oh, okay.
Never really has been. I have some good friends who are highly intrigued by those notions, and I don't know what it is for me. It just really, it's something that I'm intrigued by, but never really explored tremendously. I have a really, really, really good friend who has been abducted numerous times and has gone through hypnotic regressions to be able to remember all of the experiences. And he's a really gifted painter. He's a fine artist, and a lot of his paintings are of his experiences, and they're profound. Mm. And it's intriguing to me, and yet something that I don't really spend a lot of time.
Does he use your remedies?
Pardon me?
Does he use the remedies?
Could ETs use their remedies?
No, I say, no, does your friend, who's the painter, does he use your remedies?
I'm not positive. He knows about our work, but I'm not sure if he's used our remedies or not.
Yeah, it's a bit like talking about ETs. People have to cross through a certain threshold of their own thought, right?
Mm-hmm, absolutely, and that's why for him, he thought he was, and it wasn't until he did this hypnotic regression that he was able to very vividly re-experience those encounters, and it's something that's been happening since he was a child, mm-hmm. and his father was an abductee as well. Really fascinating. He's actually helped me to get through a lot of my fear around ETs.
Oh, that's so great. Okay,
yeah,
it's wonderful.
It is great.
Well, we don't want to launch too far into the ET thing because I'm very, very excited about your technology bringing a lot of clarity and freedom to people and help them learn to empower themselves, right?
Yeah.
And you're saying we can get the labels or the remedies free now, download them from your site?
Yep. If you go to our website, there's a brief introduction video, and there's a link right below that to download our book and the charging labels. And then there's a 10-minute video that explains how to make the remedies and how to take the remedies. In our book, there's a sample protocol. A lot of people wonder where to begin with 190 different remedies, and there's a sample protocol that's a very general yet highly effective approach that a large majority of people don't have energetic assessments. They simply read the book, follow the sample protocol, and the methodology is very logical. It's very simple, and we can do no harm since we're not stirring up pathogens or we're combating dis-ease. If someone drank even an excessive amount of any of the remedies, that there's no possibility of having a healing reaction or a healing crisis.
Right.
We're simply transforming energy, and if there is none of that energy in the person's being, nothing can happen. It'll just be drinking water.
Do you have a little section where people give you feedback on their results?
Yeah, mostly by email. People send us lots of emails and sometimes letters. And a lot of those stories are in our book.
Okay.
And the third edition, we'll have more. I would love to someday have the resources to have a blog where people can post things and I can answer questions, but right now it's a little...
You're just a bit cramped for things that you're doing and directions
indeed.
You're spreading.
Yeah.
You know,
I really, really encourage people to share their experiences. And every time I go to a workshop, someone starts to tell me a story that I would consider to be miraculous, nothing short of miraculous. And when they're done, I always ask, why didn't you tell me about this? And they always say the same thing. I know you're busy, and I didn't want to bother you. And, you know, I always laugh, like, please bother me with your stories about, you know, miraculous experiences. It inspires me.
Yeah.
And it certainly helps to...
I'm sure you could set up a little portal on your website where people can just write them in.
Yeah.
Because, you have such a wonderful gift here, and I'm so glad that you could come on to the show again, and we're going to be in touch with you again.
That'd be great.
And it's absolutely a delight, and I feel highly charged. So you're like one of your own remedies, aren't you?
Bless you, Veronica. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing Source Energy Medicine with your audience.
Oh, I know they've really enjoyed it, and we'll get back to you. One final thing, I couldn't resist this. Do you think people would know intuitively, in a sense of fulfillment, when they're close to their own higher their essence energy?
Absolutely. It's a great question. And for me, an energetic assessment is interesting, but our calibration, so wherever we're calibrated is going to essentially, that's the magnet or that's the drawing field that will attract everything that we experience into every aspect of our life.
Wonderful.
So, you know, a lot of people say, well, how will I know when I'm at my ideal energy level? It's the same thing. You know, your life will be more harmonious, more balanced, more synchronistic, certainly more miraculous. And even the people that you end up with at the checkout line at, you know, your co-op will be different. And traffic will be different. And the way you feel and look and the way people interact with you will be different. And everything has to change. It can't stay the same.
Yeah, there's an Arcturian series of books that I really liked, and it ends with change the energy, change the reality.
Indeed. It's the only way to change our reality perspective.
Well, thank you.
We could change our thoughts. We can change our food. We could change the people we live with, the place we live. But unless we do something about our energy level, which is ultimately our consciousness, we won't be able to affect much change at all.
Well, thank you for your good work, and thank you for being a paradigm shifter.
Thank you, Veronica. Blessings to you.
Blessings to you. Good night, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. Please check Stephen's website, which is sourceenergyresearch.com. I know that you're going to be able to get your labels, and you're going to give us some feedback. Good night. Many blessings.